Welcome to our first ever mini episode. This season, we'll be bringing you an additional episode with further insight from our guest. If you're a fan of Brains, we'd love for you to rate and review us. Before we begin, we want to acknowledge that the lands from which we recorded this podcast and from where you are listening are part of territories that have long served as a gathering place for diverse Indigenous peoples. And we are thankful, as guests on this land, to be able to live, work, and gather here together. We continue to learn about the history that came before us and encourage you to do the same.
Today, we'll be deep diving into the series Crazy Ex-Girlfriend with last week's guest and New York Times bestselling author, Bassey Ikpe.
If you want to hear our full episode with Bassey on bipolar 2 disorder and the representation of bipolar and depression in shows like Atlanta, Insecure, and Dave, we've included a link in the show notes.
A quick reminder to our listeners that this interview should not be taken as medical advice, and it is for informational purposes only. Because everyone's brain is different, please consult your healthcare professional if you have any questions. One of the shows that you mentioned to us that you want to talk about is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Now, I don't even know where to start because it's so good. So for those who haven't seen Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, this is Rachel Bloom's show, and it is a musical extravaganza, but it's really about a woman who finds her first love, who comes into her life again. She meets him again and then decides to follow him to
his hometown.
But it's in
West Covina.
Yeah. in California, which is LA adjacent by quite a bit. But it's a great depiction, as you will learn over time, of borderline personality disorder.
I was late to the show because it was called My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I was like, oh, I don't want to watch this. And then I don't know what happened. Something random happened. And I started watching it. And I didn't know where it was going until I found out where it was going. Like, I just rewatched like the first six episodes of season three when she gets diagnosed, and everything just felt so real. And one of the things I love about the show is that it doesn't shy away from the ugly. She is hyper fixated. She's projecting. She's obsessive. She's compulsive. She's hurtful. She hurts so many people. She's so selfish and self-centered and all these different things that are real life to having some of these disorders. Like, it's not just, oh, I feel so bad for her, or I feel great. You know, it's these other like things that make you not the friendliest, the nicest person to be around. But the way that it showed, it kind of crept up on you. Like, it seemed like this is a regular, like, okay, show. And then when you start to realize and notice the scene when she's on the plane, I cried. I cried because it was so honest, and it was so, I can't even put into words just how perfect the depiction. What I said about Atlanta was that it needs to be kind of surreal in order to get really into it. And Crazy Ex-Girlfriend makes that very, very plain. You have to tell it in this way. The musical has to live in her head in order for us to understand what is going on in her head. All of that is important, and you have to see it that way. It has to be in that kind of color and texture in order for you to get the real, the honest experience. Even the diagnosis, when she's like, oh, no, thank you. After she's like, I'm so happy I finally get a diagnosis, and decides not to. Even the doctor saying, please don't Google it.
Yeah. Well, and then they do a whole song. There's so many good songs. One of my favorite songs is when they sing about medication and all the medications and everything, but basically it was like to show that it's not just her on medication. Look at all these other people on medication and how it's helping their life. And it just was that idea about destigmatizing. It felt as hyper as she was in a lot of ways because of the musical elements, and you were in her shoes. And you didn't feel, you're like, she's kind of bad, but you didn't really feel like she's bad because you're seeing her perspective of everything.
Yeah.
And in that moment, it wasn't the end of episode two, was the church, right? Season two, right? Wasn't the, when he was getting married,
the wedding
and she disrupts the wedding and everything. And you realize how out of control she's become. And then with this plane, like, it actually, instead of just being in that hyper surrealist place of musical, you then had actually real, real moments of people saying, you are wrong. Like, what? Her being like, but I don't understand, like almost not understanding because, and us too, like, but we, because we've been in her head.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we're like being confronted with something just as she is, to be like, that reality is not the reality.
And then when she just attacks all her friends, they came to help and she's just like, just gutting them down and just like taking whatever she knows and knowing that it's going to hurt them and just flinging it at them. And then the shame spiral that she went on, and even the way that she couldn't sleep because she kept remembering these awful things that she said and done. Like, all of that is so real. And I keep using the word real because I can't even think of another way to put it, because it depicted it in such a way that was so visceral. The scene in the plane, on the plane, when you're like, okay, well, she's mad at her mom. She's not doing great. And she's like, oh, well, anxiety. So she's going to take an anxiety pill. Who else? Who has not taken a pill with a glass of wine? Who amongst us has not? And then she just keeps taking them and taking them, taking them. And then she's like, I was just like, oh my God. And it just, it's a comedy.
Yeah.
It's a comedy. A comedy called My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend has the best depiction of a mental health journey that I've ever seen.
Like, what I love is like when you get to the end, like, and you're falling along and you're in love with all this stuff. And then in the end, the word isn't brave, but I'll say the word that they stuck the landing, because they did not allow us to ever see an outside perspective until the final episode. And they stuck the landing, because it could have been so easy for them to have said, we're going to show what other people see, like even at the end, like, or even at the end of season two with the church, like we could have done that, but they didn't.
Yeah.
They waited till the last episode and you'd see her dissociate and you'd see her go off in her head, but it wasn't just a moment. It was a period of time, and people would be like waiting for her and being like, what the hell is going on right now?
Yeah.
And then her coming back and then realizing, maybe to help myself and to help other people, I need to take these songs out of my head and share them. And really, like, sorry, that can be really emotional. But understanding, like, the idea, like what you said too, of like, if someone could just say it, then I can be less alone. Or if someone just says it, then I don't have to be the one that breaks it to my family that this is going on. I can just be like, hey, here's, just watch this. And then you get me. And then I can, like, and then I feel less alone. And I think it's just like seeing that the whole show was someone saying, be less alone. And then at the end, her realizing, and it's that moment of almost like, this is the start of the show. So it almost came back on itself, which is beautiful.
Yeah. It is a perfect show. It was one of those shows where it's like, I don't know why more people.
It's because of the title.
It's the title.
Deceptive.
It was the title. Yeah. I even wrote about it for Essence.com or something. I was like, I know the title is putting people off, but you have to watch this show. You must watch this show, The Root, not Essence. You're right. It absolutely stuck the landing in a beautiful, in the perfect way. Like, it just, it usually when things like this happens, it makes you like, what was I watching? Like, I don't like the whole, the only, Atlanta did this well, but they also had sort of projected it, but I don't like it when I'm watching this whole thing and I was like, no, Bobby was in the shower the whole time.
Yeah, it's a dream.
Like, I don't, where it's just like, how did we get here? But they really just showed you how we got there.
Yeah.
And you know what else? I don't know if I put it in the final episode of Fleabag.
When
oof, she stops talking to the camera, she doesn't need us anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She just walks off and we're just like,
what?
Oh, I was like, that's such a perfect way to like show that transition. Mm-hmm. Perfect. But yeah, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I can't say enough about it. I wish it would have gotten more recognition, but they couldn't have called it anything else.
No,
they really couldn't have called it anything
else. I do think it's weirdly like the most perfect title as well as the worst title at the same time, like to get people to watch it, but it is what it is for a reason. And almost in a way it's like pulling apart our narrative of this idea of like, oh, it's my crazy ex, whatever. Like often like women, especially women getting depicted as like, oh, that's my crazy ex. And you're like, but you're not actually looking at what it is or what your part was in it as well. And like how we can,
how you triggered it, I'm not gonna tell you all my business, but I just recently discovered like emotional abuse, but because I'm used to being crazy, I like, oh, I'm sorry, it was me. Like, I must have been having a manic episode or this and that. And the other thing, I was like, no, this person is not a good person. Like, I've probably didn't handle it the best, but this person is not a good person. But also, like what you said, like the way that she was calling over and over and over and over again and texting and calling. I remember a couple years ago, there was a story about somebody was taking their ex to court or something. And part of it was like, she called him 200 times in an hour and people were like, oh, crazy. I was like, manic. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Something's going
manic.
On.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, it's, and that, you do the thing where it's like, I'm calling, they don't pick up. I'm calling, they don't pick up. I'm calling, they don't pick up. They're mad at me. I'm texting. Yeah. I'm texting. Are you mad at me?
Yeah.
I'm texting. They're not answering. I'm calling in case they block. Going back. Are you blocked? Going back. I'm calling again. Just check and see if I'm mm-hmm. blocked. Okay. It's going through. Am I blocked? Go back. Like that's how it happens. It happens like that. You're just wanting somebody to like pick up and like sort of acknowledge that you exist. And when they don't do that, and they could have just been like asleep or whatever, but the way that your mind kind of just takes it and goes, like she didn't even consider the fact that he just didn't want to talk to her.
Yeah.
Didn't even cross her mind. And that's the way that it is.
Yeah.
Cause you're not thinking about like that.
And that idea of also like you, it's, well, it's the thing of all of us that we are the center of our own story. And so we are in her shoes with her and we're thinking.
She's the star of the musical.
She's the star of the musical. And I think her psychiatrist at some point says, you are not the star of everyone's story.
Yeah.
But in her world, she was. And that's because yeah. our world, we are like the center of the universe because
it's our universe.
That's our universe. Like that's how we see the world.
But also we have to, like I said before, we have to consider so much. We have to be so aware of ourselves all the time. How are we not the star of the musical? And I think that's why so many of us are in fields that require us to be looked at or to make us hyper aware of ourselves at all times.
Yeah.
Because we have to do that. We have to consider something. Like for me, am I sitting here because I'm in functional freeze or am I just being lazy today? Am I, you know, do I really like this person or am I hypomanic? Am I like, I have to think about this. I'm like, oh no, I'm just being really ridiculous right now. It's not related to anything, but I have to make sure that it's not. Am I sad or am I falling into this thing? Am I not able to concentrate because I'm just not concentrating? Or like you have, those are conversations that we have to have with ourselves that most people don't. So yeah, we're the star of this musical.
And also, is it easier for me to be in my head and just like be in the musical than it is to actually deal with the thing? Because like, I don't ever mean this for real, but sometimes I'm like, I wish I didn't know what was going on with my brain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Even though I know it's way better. Like even my husband's like, you love yourself more. And I know, but knowing that I'm always starting at -2 when everyone gets to start at 0.
It sucks.
Just sometimes like sucks. And I'm like,
it sucks.
I wish I didn't have to know that I'm starting at -2. I wish I could just pretend that I'm at 0. I wish I could just be in that musical. We're all dancing and we're all the same and all's wonderful. But no, I'm at -2 and I have to do 50 more steps than everyone else. And when I can't do those steps, something goes wrong. And then I feel shame when I'm like, no, I just needed more help and I didn't ask for it because I would rather just pretend. I just don't want to be a bother and I want to pretend that everything's fine instead of going, I need a better environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the story of all of us.
Yes.
Anyways.
No, I think it's so important. Again, these conversations are so important because I don't think people who are also have brains like ours don't give themselves permission not to be good at or not to like recognize that you don't have to. Listen, you got to start five steps behind. You got to start five steps behind. Mm. Like it's just, you can't push yourself and force yourself to be someplace that you're not ready to be yet.
Yeah.
I think that's where we get into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble in that it becomes dangerous for us because we are forcing ourselves to do things that we are just physically, emotionally, mentally not capable of at that time or ever.
Yeah.
And sometimes it has to, sometimes it's ever. I know what it is that I'm capable of doing, what I'm not capable of doing. And I know what happens when I push myself to do something that I'm not yet ready to do.
Yeah.
So might as well just wait as opposed to like push where I have to start over anyway.
Yeah. That self-awareness is so important.
So important. This is why we talk about this stuff and we have these conversations.
So glad that you do. Please invite me back every day. I've got so much to talk about.
I know. Give us more shows. We'll do our homework.
Just thank you again. It was great to be able to dive a little deeper into Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
Brains is hosted and produced by Heather and Sarah Taylor. It's mixed and mastered by Tony Bao, and our theme song is by our little brother, Depish.
If you like what you hear, please rate and review us and tell your friends to tune in. You can reach us on Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter at Brains Podcast, spelled BRAAINS Podcast. You can also go to our website, brainspodcast.com, where you can contact us, subscribe, and find out a little bit more about who we are and what we do.